Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to study your word, and I ask that you would give us clarity and understanding and a right application of the truths that we look at today and in the coming weeks. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God spoke through the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian believers in Bible times, and it turns out that the church in the first century is exactly like the church in the 21st century. And by exactly alike, I mean that they are both made up of sinful human beings whose only hope is in the mercy and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The details of the issues faced by our Christian family in the Near East 2,000 years ago may seem very different from the issues that we face in life today, but the root problems are the same. And the root principles communicated through Paul in this particular case are the same. The same principles applied 2,000 years ago that do today, and vice versa. And so Paul says, in the opening verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." And let's just pause right there. As the lead elder of Pahrump Community Church, in my role as pastor-teacher, this is my heart. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, my brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." So, I'm going to spend a few weeks presenting an overview of what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. And by way of review, several times over the past 2 months, I've given you this. Number one, our definition of spiritual gifts. A spiritual gift is a special supernatural ability, enablement, or capacity to do the work of God in edifying the body of Christ. Again, you've heard this several times if you've been tuning in. One more time. Definition: a spiritual gift is a special supernatural ability, enablement, or capacity to do the work of God in edifying the body of Christ. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, skip into verse 4, we read, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Let me just review what we learn here. And what I'm about to say is not in your outline. You can take a few notes if you want. But these verses inform us that, first of all, spiritual gifts are gifts. They are gifts. A gift is not something that you earn. It's not something you purchase. It's not something that you work in order to secure. It is something that is given to you. So spiritual gifts, by definition, are gifts. Also, we see that spiritual gifts are from God. These are gifts. And in order for it to be a gift, someone has to give it to me. God is the one who gives spiritual gifts. There's no other source of spiritual gifts. You can only acquire it if God in His sovereignty chooses to grant one of these gifts to you. Thirdly, we see that spiritual gifts come in a wide variety of flavors, as it were. There are so many variations, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit more today. But there's a wide variety of spiritual gifts. Fourthly, God has graciously given spiritual gifts to each and every believer. Even in this passage, we see that. It is God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit, the spiritual gift. So every believer has at least one spiritual gift. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian, God has given you at least one spiritual gift. And then fifthly, the purpose of spiritual gifts is to benefit the body of Christ. It is for, as Paul says, the common good. Common to who? Common to all believers. The purpose of spiritual gifts, my spiritual gift, your spiritual gift, everybody else's, the purpose is for the good of the body of Christ, the benefit of the body of Christ, the kingdom of God. God will use his spiritual gifts, these gifts that he has given to you and me, in order to benefit the kingdom of God, his kingdom. For this study, I'm going to divide the biblical list of spiritual gifts into two categories. Now, these categories are debatable, and indeed, I would have to say that they have been debated for generations throughout Christian history. And you may or may not agree with my choice of which gifts go into which category, but I still believe that there's going to be little or no disagreement about most of what I'm going to be sharing with you and teaching in this segment on our study of the church. Because the Bible is very clear, even if we have some slight areas of disagreement. However, I want to state up front that I am not 100% convinced that the Bible specifically identifies every spiritual gift that is given to God's people. I'm not necessarily convinced that it doesn't, but I'm not convinced that it does. For example, artistic abilities may be an expression of a spiritual gift. I think about a message that Pastor Caleb preached a couple of years ago out of Exodus, talking about specific men whom God gave the ability to be able to do artistic work. Is that a spiritual gift? It may be. It could be that music is a spiritual gift. Certainly we have the Psalms, and all of those, or many of them at least, are supposedly set to music, and even though we don't have the musical scores that were originally accompanying those, music has continued to be an integral part of God's people worshiping him throughout the generations of people who've trusted in God. And it could be that music is a spiritual gift. These aren't specifically listed in the Bible as spiritual gifts. When you read through that list, you're not going to see a spiritual gift entitled music or art. They're not listed there. But an argument can be made that sometimes music or art, and we could go on and list more and more things, that these things can be a special supernatural ability to edify the body of Christ. They could be. And even when we are exploring the 20 or so spiritual gifts that are found in the Bible, we are forced to admit that for every person that has any given spiritual gift, there is such a wide variety of manifestations of that gift that it almost defies clear identification. So that what we see in one person with that specific gift and another person also with that specific gift may have very little correspondence between them because of the variety. For example, the gift of service, which you'll find mentioned in the scriptures, and we're going to be covering that next week. The gift of service is so broad that there is essentially no end to the diversity of how you're going to exercise that gift. So our study is going to deal with what the Bible teaches about specific spiritual gifts, but more importantly, we are going to focus on the reality that God has given every individual Christian at least one spiritual gift, and the effective functioning of the church depends on each member properly using his or her gift or gifts. As we've repeatedly stated, regardless of whether or not you are ever clearly able to identify your specific spiritual gift, remember this, number two, God expects you to use your gifts, all your gifts, your talents, your abilities, to serve him by serving the body of Christ. Rather than getting caught up in whether or not you know what your spiritual gift is and then not getting anything done because you're spinning your wheels trying to figure out what it is, remember, God expects you to use all of your gifts, talents, and abilities to serve him by serving the body of Christ. We see that in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. All of that variation We're told, use your gifts, use your talents, your abilities to serve the body of Christ. We read in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for man, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. God expects you to use all of your gifts, talents, and abilities to serve Him by serving the body of Christ. So, two categories of spiritual gifts, and I'm going to label the first category as service gifts. Roman numeral 1 on your outline is service gifts. The definition of a spiritual gift remains the same: a special supernatural ability, enablement, or capacity to do the work of God in edifying the body of Christ. But as a subset, we are going to say that, point A service gift has edification as its primary purpose. A service gift, this is our category, a service gift has edification as its primary purpose. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up, we meaning the church, the body of Christ, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, that's the church, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Edification is the primary purpose. God has given me a spiritual gift. He has given you a spiritual gift. The primary purpose of these service gifts is to edify or build up the body of Christ. So with that understanding, let me point B, give you a biblical list of service gifts. A biblical list of service gifts. And I'll tell you up front, we are not going to get through all of them this week. So we'll come back again and look at some more next week. This doesn't necessarily mean that these are the only spiritual gifts that are available, but rather that these are the spiritual gifts that are clearly identified in the Bible. And so that makes it a good place for us to start as we work on a study on spiritual gifts. Let's see what the Bible says about these specific ones. And I'm going to give you this list in alphabetical order. That means that rather than taking a given passage and working through each element that is there sequentially, that we're going to be jumping back and forth between Romans and 1 Corinthians and Ephesians and 1 Peter. So alphabetical order, service gift number one, administration. Administration, the gift of administration. And we're going to define it like this. Administration is steering the body toward God-given goals. Steering the body toward God-given goals. Or the longer version, you can stick with the shorter one, but one with the spiritual gift of administration steers the body toward the accomplishment of God-given goals and directives by planning, organizing, and supervising others. And there's where we start seeing this administration. Typically, when we think of one who is gifted in administration, we see someone who's planning things, who's organizing things, who's pulling people together and making it happen. This is administration. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 says, God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, the gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. And I know others of those things are in your mind right now, and you're thinking, hey, well, what about this? What does that mean? Focus with me right now on this one. ESV says administrating. So this is one of the service gifts in the broader category of the gifts of the Spirit, or the specifically spiritual gifts for believers. Administration. Okay, let's look at another one. Number two. Discernment. And we will define this gift as clearly distinguishing truth from error. That's the short version. Discernment is clearly distinguishing truth from error. The longer version would be that one with the spiritual gift of discernment is able to clearly distinguish truth from error by judging whether the behavior or the teaching is from God or from Satan or human error or human power. One with the gift of discernment can pick up on these things and be able to identify and distinguish between those two. Now, we're all supposed to be working on being discerning, but specifically there are those who have been gifted with the spiritual gift of discernment. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 says, to one is given through the Spirit, and then he starts on a list of things. And when we get to verse 10, he says, the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So the ability to distinguish between spirits, the ESV says. The King James says, discerning the spirits. And we're not talking about discerning what spirits are floating around out there, but rather recognizing that behind every false teaching, there is a spiritual reality. So discerning the spirits means that we're able to discern whether this coming from this particular source or that source is truth or error. The New Living Translation says the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. That's kind of a paraphrase rather than an interpretation, rather than a translation. But as a paraphrase, he's done a good job with this, that the gift of discernment is the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit, whatever that spirit may be and whatever the source may appear. This is the gift of discernment. Third, evangelism. And we'll define evangelism, the spiritual gift of evangelism, as the ability to successfully communicate the message of the good news of the gospel. The ability to successfully communicate the message of the good news of the gospel. The longer version would be that one with the gift of evangelism is driven with the passion of bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to others who have not heard it. And typically God blesses such a person with the joy of seeing many people come to saving faith. So we read in Ephesians 4:11, a passage that we've studied in previous weeks. Ephesians 4:11, God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers. Now, as we talked about in a previous study, this role of evangelist does indeed express a spiritual gift. It also expresses somewhat of an office. We would typically see such a person as a missionary. This does not mean that every person who has the gift of evangelism is going to be surrendering to full-time ministry as a missionary. There are those who hold various vocations, and yet they have the gift of evangelism, and they're out there doing the evangelistic work. And one of the keys to seeing that a person is gifted with the gift of evangelism is that we see the results of it. Now, I evangelize, you evangelize. We may not see a lot of people come into faith in Jesus Christ. We're still supposed to tell them about Jesus. But one who has the gift of evangelism, we see a lot of fruit, typically speaking. And thus, we look at these missionaries who are out doing that job. We look at people like Billy Graham, and all of us are familiar with him, that when he would preach the gospel, hundreds, thousands, and even tens of thousands would come to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, whether or not those people stuck with it, what we see is God blessed this gift of evangelism in this particular man or whoever has it in such a way that there were results that were visible. So evangelism is one of the gifts of the Spirit, one of the spiritual gifts that God gives to people within the church. Keep in mind, not everybody has all of the gifts. Matter of fact, I would suggest that probably nobody has all of the gifts. God gives these spiritual gifts as he sees fit, to one this gift, to another that gift. And so I'm not suggesting that every one of you needs the gift of evangelism, but some of you have that. Fourthly, exhortation. Again, we're moving in alphabetical order. Exhortation, and we will define this spiritual gift as competence in offering encouragement, comfort, and support. Competence in offering encouragement, comfort, and support. For the sake of abbreviation, I have shortened most of the definitions that I'm working with here. And I've collected information from several different sources, and I'll be giving you more of that in coming weeks. But I've shortened it so that we don't have you trying to fill out all of these different blanks or follow this long statement. And I'm giving you a little bit longer one. And this one, I struggled. Do I want to really say that it's competence in offering encouragement, comfort, and support and leave it at that? Because really, there's nothing there about God. And there are some people who are able to offer encouragement, comfort, and support that are not Christians at all. So let me give you the longer version. One with the gift of exhortation is able to come alongside someone with words of comfort, encouragement, consolation, and counsel to help that person be all that God wants him or her to be. Really, this is the objective. Keep in mind that the purpose of spiritual gifts is to build up the body of Christ. It's not merely to make someone feel better about their life. Ultimately, it's to make someone understand what God wants from that person. The most encouraging thing and the most comforting thing I can do for you is to let you know what God wants from your life so that you can align your life with that and thus experience the joy and the peace of God. That's what God wants from you. So one who has the spiritual gift of exhortation is going to be especially skilled in this, competent in offering encouragement, comfort, and support with the objective of helping another person become all that God wants him or her to be. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 says, "Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one," verse 8, "the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." So right in the middle of this passage, he mentions exhortation specifically as a spiritual gift. So we know this indeed is a spiritual gift. And you may have this particular spiritual gift. The NIV says it this way: if your gift is encouraging, then let him encourage. You need to do that job. Encouraging or exhortation means the same thing here. Number 5, faith. We're all familiar with the word faith. Let me give it a definition. This is a bit of a longer one because it's hard to condense this one to explain exactly what the spiritual gift of faith is. But here's what we're going to go with: the divine enablement to act on God's promises with confidence, an unwavering belief in God's ability to fulfill His purposes. And believe me, I did some gymnastics to try to figure out how to get this one shorter. And this is as short as I could get it. The divine enablement, this is coming from God, to act on God's promises. So it has to do with what God has said, what God has promised. The divine enablement to act on God's promises with confidence and unwavering belief in God's ability to fulfill His promises. Now, I don't know about you, but I know this does not always describe my response to things. I don't always have that kind of confidence. Now, typically, when I stand up in front of you, I can do all right with that. I can preach these messages, but as life goes through, you know, its trials and hardships and bumps, I don't always have this kind of confidence. I don't always have this unwavering belief. I tell myself it's true, but I seriously doubt that I have the spiritual gift of faith. Now, I have faith. I have a lot of faith, and I have faith that is growing, but I don't really think I have the spiritual gift of faith. But I've known some people who do. One with the gift of faith is firmly persuaded of God's power and promises to accomplish His will and purpose, and he displays such confidence in Him and in His Word that circumstances and obstacles do not shake that conviction. A person with the gift, the spiritual gift of faith, you're going to have a hard time ever finding a time when they are not just totally trusting in the Lord, regardless of what is happening around them. And if you're like me, you look at such a person and you think, man, I wish I had that kind of faith. Well, maybe they've got that spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again, verse 8. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. There's a long list here. But back there in verse 9, he simply says, to another faith. What does it mean to have the spiritual gift of faith? The New Living Translation, again, I think of it more of a paraphrase than a translation in this case, but they say the same Spirit gives great faith to another. And that word great, that is not actually in the original manuscripts. That is added for interpretation. Because we know that everyone who has come to faith in Jesus Christ has faith, but we don't all have the spiritual gift of faith. So the New Living Translation adds this term, great faith, to suggest that there's something that sets this apart from the normal faith that you and I might experience. So the spiritual gift of faith. Let me give you one more before we quit for today. Giving, number 6, giving. And we're going to define this one as sharing what material resources you have with cheerfulness. That's our short version. Sharing what material resources you have with cheerfulness. And by the way, I don't necessarily think that it's strictly limited to material resources. We can give in other ways as well. But I think someone with the gift of giving will certainly be giving of their material resources. So the longer version would be that one with the spiritual gift of giving shares his or her material resources with liberality and cheerfulness without thought of return. Liberality meaning we're just pouring it on. And with cheerfulness, meaning that it's not like when you and I sometimes give and we think, well, okay, I guess I can give. And we give. No, we're talking about somebody that they just can't wait to give. They see the opportunity and they think, yeah, I can help with that. And out comes the checkbook or out comes the cash. And they're just there, willing, because God has gifted them with this spiritual gift. Again, Romans 12, verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So this particular phrase says, the one who contributes. Again, the New Living Translation says, if your gift is giving, give generously. The ESV, if you're contributing, do it with generosity. So if your gift is giving, then you are going to exercise that by giving over and above. You're going to give generously. I can't help but think that there may be multiple people in our congregation who have such a gift. Because I have repeatedly, over our 15 years here, seen the generosity of our church family. And I praise God for it. So you're following these instructions. If your gift is giving, contributing, do it generously. So far, we've covered 6 specific spiritual gifts. But our list is longer, so we're going to be picking up right here next Sunday. And if you don't think that we have specifically identified your own area of giftedness quite yet, I'm going to ask that you be patient. Look through this, pray through these 6, but be patient. You don't have to necessarily identify yours here. We're going to be exploring other gifts, and we, as the leaders of Pahrump Community Church, are committed to helping you discover your best fit in the kingdom work. In this particular church, Pahrump Community Church, we are committed to helping you do that. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, as we saw in Colossians. Whatever your hand finds to do, that's the way we're supposed to do it. In the meantime, remember that you don't have to know what your spiritual gift is before you can serve Him. In conclusion, the key to serving Jesus is a right heart, a right motive, and a right attitude. Before you get all caught up in trying to figure out exactly what your spiritual gift is, make sure you understand this, that the key to serving Jesus is a right heart, a right motive, and a right attitude. And you can do that whether or not you know what your spiritual gift is. So again, Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this wonderful study as we're looking into spiritual gifts. We thank you that you have indeed gifted each one of us with at least one spiritual gift. And even though we may not fully recognize it yet, we do know that this is a truth. And we do know that the very fact that you give us salvation and that you give us spiritual gifts and that you bless us in so many ways is because you are for us. Our God is for us. We thank you for that. I thank you for the encouragement that we have of studying your word on this particular subject. Help us, Lord, to serve you with right hearts, with right attitudes, with right motives. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.